Georgia Virtue presents the Let Me Tell You Why You're Wrong podcast.
Thank you for downloading episode 312. This week, we have the tale of two presidents. The Baltimore Bridge is falling down. Illegal votes from the right. Sammy gets 2.5 decades. Raiding the Puff. Super VD. The check may in fact be in the mail. And die, sign die. I'm Dave Roberts. With me is my part of this endeavor, Representative Emeritus Ken Pullen.
Hey Dave, how are you this week?
Doing pretty good. Busy.
Yeah, it's Good Friday when we're recording, so I hope everyone has a good Easter weekend.
Especially the Braves.
Yes.
they were delayed opening day from last Thursday due to weather, and I think MLB called it pretty early. So that's a good thing. You didn't have fans, you know, in the stands, and then they decide, okay, yeah, this is a deluge, and have them come back in.
So it's not a doubleheader, though. It's just one game today.
It's really early in the year for doubleheader.
Okay.
I mean, they'll be able to make those games up somewhere else, maybe give up an off day somewhere along the line and turn a 3-game series to a 4-game series, something like that. It's a lot easier on, one, the fans and the athletes.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the Toxic Shock 911 call?
No, I haven't. I saw that, but I have not heard what this is about. You're going to let me know.
Sounds interesting. So these girls were protesting. I can't remember what they were protesting. I think they're protesting Israel or whatever. So they're sitting down, and this girl calls 911 saying her friend next to her needs to change her tampon. That it's been in too long, and she's risking toxic shock to send police to get her out. And the 911 operator, hilarious, like, do you have an actual emergency? She goes, yes, toxic shock is very dangerous. So what I gathered from the video is, had she gotten up from her sit-in, she would have been allowed back in without getting arrested. I don't know exactly what she expected the police to do.
Me either.
I mean, escort her out and let her back in to some place they weren't supposed to be anyway. This is Vanderbilt University. This is not Broward Community College. This is Vanderbilt University. This is like $60,000 a year.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And you know, the old joke with the Commodores football team is, sure, you could beat us on Saturday, but you'd be working for us on Monday. Very prestigious school. And for these kids to be this stupid and this emotional and all that, and just, it's, I saw it on one of my stupid shows. I think I saw it on Gutfeld or whatever. But I think I came up on Not the Bee also. I mean, it's, or Ben Shapiro, I'm not sure.
Man, I saw a Babylon Bee article this week. You know, the Republicans are mad at the Babylon Bee guys because they had this headline this week that says Ron DeSantis is kicked out of the Republican Party for accomplishing too much.
It's satire.
It is, but it's kind of interesting because DeSantis has, I mean, even Governor Kemp and Ron DeSantis, I think they've been sort of model governors for Republicans, and neither one of those guys could win. We saw what DeSantis did from a presidential standpoint. He was just run out of, he never got over 10%, I don't think. He never had a chance.
He ran up against a buzzsaw, had the worst rollout ever.
Yeah, I think conservatism's dead, though, in Republican circles right now. It's more populism versus conservatism.
Then who comes up in 28?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be different no matter what happens in this election. I think 28 has to be different. And if you look at the country, take the debt another 4 years out, it's $35 trillion now. It's going to be, you know, mid-40s in another 4 years, no matter who the president is. I mean, if President Trump's elected, they're not going to stop spending. They're going to spend probably as much or more than the Democrats did. And Democrats are going to spend a lot of money. So the country's going to be in financially probably really bad shape in another 4 years. So we'll see what happens at that point.
they both increase spending. It's a question on what?
I mean, we're
spending a lot of money sending shells over to, there's a factory in Scranton that makes, I think it's 35 millimeter shells that they're making as fast as they can. And instead of restocking our own, they're going over to Ukraine.
Yeah, I just think that, I mean, unless somebody addresses entitlement programs, that's the main thing. Somebody's going to have to address those at a certain point. I think that's what 80% of discretionary spending is entitlements now. I mean, there's hardly any money they can just stop spending unless they tackle Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and then other benefits. If they don't do that, it doesn't matter what else we do.
Farm subsidies, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it is my grandfather's birthday, or was my grandfather's cool. birthday. Yeah, April Fool's Day. He was born on April 1st.
Nice. My birthday's coming up on the 9th, so yeah, getting closer to 50.
You and I have the same birthday?
Yours is the 9th?
Mine's the 4th.
Okay, mine's the 9th.
Well, hopefully you get to go do something. At least take the day off, go play golf.
We make you see the Braves play that night.
Yeah, that'd be good too. So, Joe Biden goes to a fundraiser and Donald Trump goes to a funeral.
Yeah.
These are about 40 miles apart.
Yeah, they were both in the city in New York. And this happened last Thursday afternoon. So, Donald Trump, President Trump, attended the wake of the New York Police Department officer Jonathan Diller. He was in Long Island, but he was fatally shot during a traffic stop in Queens last Monday evening. So President Trump went to his funeral, and at the same time, this was just really bad optics for President Biden. And then President Biden went to a fundraiser with Barack Obama and Bill Clinton, where he hauled in over $25 million. It was the largest single fundraiser ever in New York City. And I think, you know, there's a lot of people that picked up on this. It just goes towards, you know, a difference in what's important. I mean, Donald Trump's actually out there, and this is why people like him, though. I mean, he's out there with the people versus what Biden's doing is this big, huge fundraiser. I mean, it's just like Lake and Riley, the young lady in Athens that was killed by the illegal alien. You know, Donald Trump actually talked to the parents, called the parents, and Joe Biden, I don't think, still has talked to her parents. So it just goes to what they think is important.
Well, here's the thing. Donald Trump, for a lot of things I don't like about his personality, well, it's public persona, I should say. But he, when he had a tragedy, he made phone calls. Even if it didn't match his political stance, he still would call.
Yep.
I don't think Biden called the troops that died leaving Afghanistan.
No, I'm out. No, he's been a disaster on stuff like that. But you know, when he sees something that fits the left narrative, you know, he's all about it, right? So if there's a black guy killed by a white police officer, you know, we've got he's going to be all over that. But then if it doesn't fit the correct narrative of the Democrat Party, then they do nothing. You know, it's like nothing happens.
Well, phone calls were unscripted. And even at the fundraiser, which they said he was juiced up again, but they were all prepared remarks.
Yeah, had to be.
And that fundraiser apparently was star-studded. I mean,
oh yeah, everybody. Lizzo was there. They had everybody there.
I assume they
went Queen Latifah
cut Lizzo two pieces of the prime rib.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, Queen Latifah, Amy Kaling, a couple other people. I don't remember, but yeah, this was a very expensive dinner. I think it was a quarter million or half million.
Jeez.
Something like that. Depending, you know, with those types of fundraisers, the more you spend, the closer you get to the stage, the closer you get to the president.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Money usually wins elections. President Trump is way behind in fundraising. You know, Biden has raised a lot more money. You know, but is there anyone in the U.S. right now that doesn't? I mean, it's so polarized, right? They're going to spend $1 billion on 3 or 4% of the vote, which is whatever an independent is. I still don't know how you can go back and forth. I don't know how you can vote for Trump one year and Biden the next year. I just, Like, I don't know who they're spending all this money on, to be honest.
The suburban moms, for one.
Yeah, but I mean, do they flip flop that much?
They did because of the language. They found him crass and offensive. I don't understand the abortion issue. It all became is the 10th Amendment. Talk to your state reps. We said, I think last week or week before, when Harris went to an abortion clinic, you could yell women's rights all you want to, but it's not a federal issue. Congress is not taking that up. And even if they did, say Democrats get majority, it would never get past the Senate. And as not saying that one way or the other, just you have to have 60 votes to get rid of it. This race is already just a S show, you know?
Yeah, I know.
So and we're still 8 months away. But yeah, they had Barry Obama and Billy Clinton were there. I think it's the first time that they've really shown support for him. And I think Bill was there because he was hoping the Rockettes were going to be there.
Nice.
Of course, those girls may be a little too thin for him. Also, earlier last week, this is an odd and tragic story.
It is so tragic.
We have the Baltimore Bridge collapse. This is a Francis Scott Key Bridge,
yep.
Which parenthetically, libs already wanted them to rename it because Francis Scott Key apparently owned slaves at one point.
I know. I saw where Congressman Mike Collins from my area of the woods put a question out on Twitter, like, what do you think they're going to name the new bridge when it goes up? It will not be Francis Scott Key again.
Oh, good Lord. So anyway, the operators of the Dolly cargo ship, and this is a giant cargo ship. You're talking about 1,000 feet long. Something like, I can't remember, 15,000 tons or something. Big. This is a big cargo ship.
Mm-hmm.
Lost power.
Twice after
leaving port. You could actually see the black smoke coming out of the top as they're trying to get the generator started again. But these things don't maneuver like a cigarette
it takes,
boat.
Yeah, it takes a while to change path.
They did have a harbor pilot, two harbor pilots on. And harbor pilot, for anybody who doesn't know, is just somebody who knows the waters of that harbor. They study it. They know which way the tides are going. So they handle the close-in work. This particular ship in Europe smashed its tail end against a loading dock.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
I don't know if it was bad luck, bad crew. One of the first questions was, are they undercrewed? As you would think, the first thing you'd want to do when you lose power is get somebody to the bow and drop those anchors. And this bridge is tight to get under for that size ship. And it hit just about one of the only points directly that would drop the whole damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
If they hit the middle of the bridge, yes, it would have torn it up, but it probably would have collapsed the entire thing.
I was amazed that the whole bridge came down like in seconds, and there were no cars on the bridge at the time it came down. And I know it was during the middle of the night, but still, there's always people out driving.
There's a pickup truck. There's a pickup truck, but I think those were workers.
Potholes. Yeah, there were 8 workers on the bridge, and 2 of the workers survived. 4 are presumed dead, and then they discovered the bodies of the 2 others in the water. So it's just, it's bad that we had it looks like 6 people are going to end up losing their life out of this, but it's just crazy that this wasn't a bigger event. I mean, if it would have been coming through midday, there would have been hundreds, if not thousands, of people that could have potentially died.
And look, they only had a 30-second warning. By the time mm-hmm. the ship called Mayday, I think there was something even to say, hey, if you've got anybody on that bridge, I think there's workers up there, get them off. And that was 30 seconds, and it's a mile and a half bridge. I mean, even if they were already in a vehicle, to do a mile and a half in 30 seconds, you know, that's just, you know, it's 90 seconds at 60 miles an hour.
Yeah. Now from a, what does this mean? It sounds like that the Savannah port and all the ports around, because the port's going to be closed a little bit. Sounds like the Savannah port is going to get a lot more ships into it. I guess Brunswick gets more ships into it. So this can be a logistical nightmare for a while. And then the people driving up there, sounded like it's a 50-mile extra trip now if you're trying to go. You know, if you, there's not just another bridge close by. So for the cargo trucks that are going into Baltimore, they're going to have to do an extra 50-mile trip to get in and deliver their goods or take the goods out.
Yeah, and that's everybody.
I know.
Everybody would be on the road.
Yeah, it's wild.
Hopefully, a lot of the commuters, you know, unless they have a face-to-face job, will be telecommuting until the bridge is back up.
Mm-hmm.
It will be interesting to see if they do the same thing that Georgia did with the bridge collapse we had, which is throw away all the approval processes and get it built.
Well, I mean, the federal government has promised to spend your taxpayer money rebuilding this bridge in Baltimore. So at least we'll have something, you know, at least we'll be able to drive across it and know that our money paid for that. But yeah, I think it's going to take a while to build this thing. This is what, 1.6 miles? This is not like a 50 section foot of road over a bridge in Atlanta. I think this is going to take a while. But we got Pete Buttigieg. He is fully in charge of rebuilding this. So remain calm. Everything will be good.
So it will be completely paved by trans folks, just to make sure that it's equitable. Yes. And if we could find a transgender black lesbian, we'll go ahead and
manage the process.
Go ahead and manage the process to make sure that we have all the DEI covered. Yeah, look, it's going to take a while just to clear the debris.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, this is not just get a crane over there. The other concern you have is for worker safety. Nothing floating is static, which, you know, I know that's repetitive and redundant, but everything that's floating there as the river rises and drops, those bridge sections are moving with it. So imagine being an iron worker trying to cut sections of it loose that can crane it out and it starts to shift.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, the cleanup is going to be crazy.
Carnival said it's going to hurt their 2024 because they sail out of that port.
Nah, really?
They may have a ship stuck, but I'm not sure. But yeah, and you can't just move the cargo to another port. It has to be a port that can handle the cargo. So you have to think about getting all those containers onto trains. If there's a railhead, I don't know if there's a railhead there or not, but onto a truck, onto a train, loaded, and then moved to a different port. And if it's coming down to Savannah, even on a train, that's going to take just because trains can only take, I think, two high and however many cars they have.
Mm-hmm.
It's still going to take a day or two to move it, and then you've got to have the longshoreman to load it. And it's going to be, like you said, a logistical nightmare. It's not just like they can just go to the port next door, go to Norfolk or whatever. So we have the Georgia GOP vice chairman voted illegally 9 times.
Yeah, this just came down last Thursday. This decision by a judge came down. So this is a guy in Georgia. He's sort of a controversial guy, but his name's Brian Pritchard. He was on probation for felony convictions for basically forging checks is what he did. So he was on, he was on parole and all that kind of good stuff. He was felony forger charges were in Pennsylvania in 1996. His probation was revoked in 1999. Moved to Georgia, and then he voted in Georgia 9 times. So, you know, you can't vote until you get this, you know, completely cleared up. But where I thought was interesting about this is a couple things. It's the vice chairman of the Georgia GOP party voting illegally 9 times, and he talks about voter fraud all the time and how the election was stolen. But what I really liked about this is Marjorie Taylor Greene actually stepped up after this story and said that he needed to step down from the Georgia GOP. And I totally agree with her. This guy, I don't know how you can stay the vice chairman of the Georgia GOP party when you illegally voted nine times. I know he hasn't resigned as of the taping of this show, and I doubt he will because I think he's a pompous ass, but he probably needs to step down.
Yeah, he got fined $5,500 per illegal vote. Yep. And another $500 just to make it even.
So the money's not a big deal. It's just
No, it's not.
It's just a perception says that he's out there fussing about an election being stolen, and then he continues to vote illegally.
Well, he says he thought it ended. He's a lawyer.
Yeah, he knew what was going on. I don't buy his side of the story at all.
Like, I don't know what kind of law he practiced, but he's a
not
lawyer.
Not election law, obviously.
Well, apparently in Pennsylvania, if you're on federal probation, you can still vote. In Georgia, you cannot.
Right.
So, you know, when you fill out your application, you know, are you a felon? You know, all that stuff's all there. I don't understand why it's so damn difficult for people to understand that, no, you're not supposed to vote. Now, he brought this on himself by voting, number one, and by being the nail that stuck up.
Yes.
Because he got hammered down.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, exactly. Look, we've talked about Josh McCain a lot. Josh is the Georgia GOP chairman, who I think is taking the helms of the Georgia GOP party and is trying to rebuild it. The credibility was... Yeah, you know, he's trying to make the organization more credible at this point because I think they did go through a tough stretch. So I think, you know, David Schaefer was the last chairman of the party. David's under indictment by Fannie Willis. So I think Josh is doing a really good thing now. He's trying to get back in good graces with the governor and lieutenant governor of Georgia. This just is going to be a stain on the GOP party if this guy remains in office.
I don't see how he can.
Yeah, I can't either. But I mean, he got elected by the delegates that went to the Georgia GOP convention last summer. So, you know, it's
going to process to remove him.
I would imagine a state committee can. The state committee is a smaller group of people, probably 75 to 100. I would imagine a state committee can meet and remove him, but. You know, the more honorable thing would be to step down if you're Brian Pritchard.
Go live a quiet life.
No, he's got a talk show. He's not going out quiet.
Good Lord, just don't go away, Matt. Just go away.
Yeah, just go away.
So Sam Bankman-Fried sentenced to 25 years.
Yeah, that's a lot, right? This is the guy that was convicted of defrauding his customers, investors, and lenders last year. This was the crypto guy. I don't know if you saw that. We talked about this story before, but this is the guy that was living down in the Caribbean and they were doing Bitcoin stuff and they were moving money all over the place. It caused the largest crypto collapse in history. He faced up to 110 years. 25 years is a lot. I mean, this guy's, he's not that old. He may be 30 years old.
Actually like 32. 32 or something. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's pretty interesting that he got sentenced to 25 years. This is kind of like the Bernie Madoff stuff where, you know, he stole a bunch of money, had that Ponzi scheme. If people remember Elizabeth Holmes and her business, she got 11 years. This is good. This is a white collar crime, but he defrauded a ton of people. And I think he deserves to go to prison. So actually, I was worried that he had all these political, you know, you contributed a ton of money to political candidates. I've been watching this just wondering if they were actually going to send him to jail with all of his connections. But good for the judge on sentencing this guy. This shows that it really doesn't matter who you are, that if you do something bad, you will get sentenced to prison.
Well, he comes from, and people wonder, why would you invest with this D-bag? Because he absolutely is a D-bag.
Yeah, he's
But he comes from a family that does high finance.
Yep, he does.
So he kind of relied on his name. Plus, he knew the game. Tom Brady, I think Matt Damon did a commercial for him.
Yeah, that's right. He had all the guys doing it.
MLB umpires were wearing FTX on their sleeves, mm-hmm. I think.
Yep.
Meanwhile, he's donating tons of money, millions of dollars
to Democrat candidates.
To Democrats from his place in the Bahamas or whatever.
Right.
And he's, you know, they show him sleeping in the office and all that stuff. And I can't imagine what the dude smells like.
Oh, no.
But he gives a tour of his house. He's like, oh, and I'm a vegan. And then he complained when he was locked in pretrial that there were no vegan options for him.
Right.
I don't know if he's going to Club Fed or not. and I think Club Fed is a fallacy. I've also heard that most of the people who invest are being made whole.
Really? Out of taxpayer dollars, obviously.
I don't know where else
it would come from. The money was gone.
Because the money that the crypto they recovered, it has increased in value.
Well, that's good. And it has increased a lot.
And I don't exactly understand how, but a lot of the Madoff people were made whole, even though it was a Ponzi scheme, all the money was gone. So somehow they were made whole, and I'm not sure, or mostly whole.
Yep. Oh, well.
But look, everybody got kind of caught up in the idea, and you had people in psychological operations, we call them key communicators, people that you like. Tom Brady. Who doesn't like Tom Brady?
I know.
Matt Damon. You know, I can't remember all the other stars that were doing commercials talking about, you know, take your money will take off, invest with FTX is how beginning investors can get involved with crypto and all this stuff. And it all sounded really good, but he was playing a shell game between his girlfriend's company and then maybe another company or something like that, moving money around and keeping this lavish lifestyle, multiple houses, donating millions of dollars, getting walking around with celebrities as a short, fat, sweaty little man with hair that looks like Einstein.
Yep, exactly.
To paint a picture. But yeah, he's going to have a good time in prison.
Mm-hmm, no doubt.
And look, I know I used to be in federal prison, you could buy certain things. You could, you know, if you were wealthy enough and being sent to federal prison, you could get certain privileges or go to a certain facility or something like that. I don't know if that's true anymore. But I saw people on Facebook saying he should have gotten the max, 110. Even the prosecutors weren't asking for 110 years.
Nah, 25 is a lot.
Yeah, they were asking for 50 to 60, and his lawyers were asking for 5 to 10. And the judges, as they often do, sliced it pretty much right down the middle. And there is, I don't think, there is no parole in federal prison.
You think? I was wondering about that. I wonder if he goes for 25 or is there some type of, if he'll be able to get out earlier. I bet he gets out earlier.
I think he does. I think you have to do 90% of the time. It's not state where you get 2 days for one and shorten sentence for good behavior or working as a trustee or anything like that. Federal prison doesn't work like that. You do almost all of it.
Hmm.
So he may get out with 24 years or 23 and a half years or something like that, but he's doing a couple decades.
Jeez.
And when he comes out, he'll be a felon. And the only thing good is with our news cycle, and I say not good for us, but good for him, is people will have forgotten about it when he comes out of prison. Like some 24-hour news cycle, our news channel may pick up briefly, this Sam Bankman-Fried, the man convicted 25 years ago. But hell, I'll be lucky to be around to see it.
Same.
So Sean Diddy Combs had multiple properties raided by the federales.
Yeah, I've never paid much attention to this, what's going on until this week. But I didn't realize Diddy was 54 now, but he's been accused, you know, in the past of rape, abuse, sex trafficking, and other disturbing acts and sexual lawsuits filed since November 2023. And then this week, the feds raided his properties in Los Angeles and Miami. This guy's in some serious trouble.
Some of the stuff is just bizarre.
It is. I mean, nobody is really standing up around Diddy either, coming to his defense. I don't know if you saw it this week, but when they were asking other people that used to hang out with him, they were like, yeah, there was a lot of stuff that was going on that shouldn't have been. Like, nobody's coming to this guy's defense. So it's kind of like everybody knew this was going on. Nobody may have said anything about it, but they sure knew it was going on. And, you know, it sounds like he's probably going to get charged with some crimes here shortly. I doubt if the feds just raided his stuff to pack up some boxes and move on. I think this is going to be a big deal. And it may take down some other people with him, too.
Well, 50 Cent's ex, Daphne Joy, with whom they have a son together, was named in the Puff Daddy lawsuit, saying that she was one of the sex workers in his stable.
Oh, goodness.
And now, I think at some point she was a OnlyFans model or something like that, which is not being a model. But I don't know. Some of the accusations are so bizarre. Like there's a producer that brought this particular lawsuit, saying that Diddy had three or four girls he kept in a stable, and kept and he said he paid him a monthly stipend. And I don't know. This sounds like a junior version of Hugh Hefner, who had a giant stable.
He did. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of talk about a lot of underage stuff going on here. It's not just he had a stable of 3 30-year-olds like Hugh Hefner did. There's a lot of underage allegations going on here. A lot of sex trafficking allegations.
Yeah, and a producer, and I don't know, Rodney Lil Rod Jones accused Diddy of drugging and him being raped at the house, and like that's kind of out of left field. You're talking about him having a stable of girls and then drugging your producer and raping him, or he said he was made to perform sex acts, or just it. The more that comes out over this case, the weirder it gets.
Well, we'll see. It's going to be a little while, I'm sure, before they file any charges against him. But I think he's going to go to the popo for a long time.
You think?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. Yeah, I think he's done all kind of. Yeah, 100%. This guy's done.
Yeah, the feds don't move quick. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, if they found a stable of girls that were cowering in a corner, like they busted in a door of a massage parlor, they would have addressed that immediately. This is going to be going through, I'm in a house that size, going through hours of security footage. You know, thousands of hours of security footage to verify what was going on. Going through bank transactions, that kind of stuff. It's going to be all they did now is just gather the information. It could be another 2 years before he actually gets charged.
Yeah,
and possibly another 2 years before he actually gets convicted. So at that point, you're talking about a 60-year-old guy.
Yep. We'll see.
So we have another China virus.
God, how about this story?
Ooh. Super gonorrhea.
Yeah, so it says China, known as ground zero for the COVID pandemic, may be fueling a global rise in a new infectious disease, which is what they call super gonorrhea. That sounds absolutely terrible.
Ugh. And this stuff keeps coming around.
Yes, yeah, so I didn't know this. Gonorrhea has been effectively evading medications for years, but the chief worry among researchers is that China is reporting strains or rates of a strain resistant to the one last remaining antibiotic. So it sounds there's this new strain of gonorrhea.
Don't try to pronounce it.
No, I'm not either, but there's this strain of gonorrhea in China now that's resistant to all known antibiotics. Ugh,
well,
that sounds absolutely terrible.
That does. I mean, I don't know. Look, you don't get it from somebody sneezing on you.
Yes. But I don't know if you've seen this, but like STD rates for people 55 and over are like at an all-time high right now and rising. So
oh, yeah.
where So where, you know, when you were younger, everybody was talking about STDs and protection and all that kind of good stuff. But actually the people that are spreading STDs now in communities are the older generation, which is unheard of.
The villages.
Yes, the villages down in Florida, right? So we're liable to see the super gonorrhea virus down in the villages at some point here.
We're close to the same age. Growing up in the 80s with the threat of AIDS and the talk we all got from the gym coach to be careful and the videos that they showed us and all that stuff had me scared.
No doubt.
And then on top of that was the threat of pregnancy. So at 55 and up community, if you're in the villages, you can, AIDS is no longer a thing. You can live the rest of your life with it. It's expensive, but it's, you know, they can control it. But yeah, super gonorrhea kind of came out of nowhere. Like I've never heard that name before. It sounds like the worst cartoon ever. So the post office problems continue. This is right here in Georgia.
I know. And so I put the story in my outline because I've had friends on Facebook. I've been watching this for the last 2 weeks where everybody's talking about, I've got a package in Noonan that I hadn't got delivered to Griffin, or there's a package in, you know, like my package got to Griffin, but then it went to Noonan when it was supposed to be to Griffin. So this is pulled up now to the congressional level. And I know I'm going to mention Mike Collins again, but he said, that's Congressman from Jackson, said they really need to address this. They need to fix it in short order. And, you know, he said he took this to the United States Postal Service and he just got some canned response back that sounded like it came out of a brochure. And I also know that our senators here, John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock, also penned a letter to the Postmaster General. So this is a very bipartisan issue at this point with people not getting their mail around our state.
Yeah. I still use the mail for a lot of checks. I say a lot of checks. A lot of times for folks that I bill, you know, contractors and all that stuff, that they'll mail a check.
Yep.
And now if they say the check's in the mail, I have to believe them.
Oh, I know. No doubt. Yeah, I've been mailing a bunch of stuff in the mail, and who knows if it's gotten to the desired location or not. But
well, yours shouldn't be, if you're sending local stuff, shouldn't be routed through Noonan, but you know.
Well, yeah, Noonan was kind of an example, but there's just, is mail's just not being delivered on time now, so. Oh, well. But and Mike Collins also said, I'll be glad to go see him in his office, but unfortunately, he's out of the office until April, so it sounds like the USPS Postmaster General has been out of office for the month of March, where people couldn't even talk to him at that point. First thing you know, I don't know about you, but like in business, if you have a problem like this, the first thing you do is get back in the office. So people, you know, so you're there and you look like a leader. But this is, you know, the same with, not to mention Pete Buttigieg again, but it's the same where he was, you know, over transportation and took a three month leave last year when him and his husband adopted a child. Yeah, these people just don't care. I mean, these government workers just truly don't care.
You're Postmaster General. Go ahead, fire me. I'll take my federal retirement and be just fine. Or the postal retirement and be just fine. Yeah, you're right. It's good to see Warnock and Ossoff jumping in and Congressman Collins. It needs to be a unified voice with all of them. This is unacceptable. Yep. And I believe this is all coming from a new facility that's supposed to be all high tech and they can't get it right. But color me shocked. This is a good time to remind you that these are our opinions and not those of anyone not on the show or any respective company for which we may work, own, or otherwise associate ourselves with on a regular or irregular basis. Also, you can find other episodes and relevant stories over at GeorgiaVirtue.com. Kenny, you have the mule.
Yeah, it's NBC News this week is the mule. And I don't know if you saw all this, but Ronald McDaniel stepped down as the GOP chairman a couple weeks ago. She got hired by NBC News, you know, to just come on as a Republican voice on NBC News and MSNBC. And then all the commentators and people that worked at NBC and MSNBC pitched a fit about it. And 2 days after she signed her contract, NBC News decided to reverse its decision. So basically what they're saying is we don't want one consenting view on any of the NBC News programs. I mean, you know, I don't know if you ever cut on NBC or MSNBC. I mean, it's all liberal Democrat voices. And, you know, they hired her to be a Republican voice or a conservative voice to counter some of the narrative. And the staffers at NBC News just wouldn't, you know, they said they were going to quit and they were going to do walkouts. And then they went back and let her go, cut ties with her.
You know, this is something that Fox News does. Now, Fox News is wall-to-wall conservatives, but on the like, say, if you watch The Five, it's you're going to have four mostly conservatives, and you're going to have one dissenting voice. And it's a respectful conversation back and forth. They don't step on each other. They don't typically yell at each other. Hannity and Combs back in the day, yeah, you had one conservative and one liberal, and they'd go at it, go down for an hour on the air. And that used to be the way, even with like Bill Maher's show, he'll have Ben Shapiro on. And, you know, Ben may get booed or whatever, but this Bill Maher wants that dissenting voice. Rogan will interview, one day interview an outright communist and the next day a libertarian and give them both the same respect and have both voices on the show. It's journalistic integrity to do that. That you at least give the other side the other opinion. But Rachel Maddow lost her stuff over it. I mean, unbelievable. I guess I do believe it. So we have the Cine DA happened late Friday night, first thing, or late Thursday night, first thing Friday morning. I think you said the House got out at midnight or something like that.
It did. So they, you know, as usual, the House and the Senate are supposed to, and this was last Thursday, the House and Senate are supposed to get done by midnight. I think the last vote was 11:59. I watched it this morning, which is always an, you know, it's kind of a cool moment. They get out about 11:59. Everybody shreds up papers and they throw papers up. My last year was 2020. So we really didn't do that as 2020 was the COVID year and we were all in different offices and different spots in the Capitol. So you didn't get the same effect back in 2020. But yeah, this was the last day. And as you can imagine, a lot of the more controversial legislation gets held until the last minute. There's always some kind of vehicle bill or, you know, change that gets put into another bill. They gut it out and they try to rush it through at the last minute. But yeah, there were some interesting things this year. And if you look at our House and Senate right now, it's a just a really big contrast in styles. So both are, Republicans have the power in both the House and Senate. You got Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones residing over the Senate, who we know is going to run for governor in 2026. He's running a very, very conservative agenda in the Senate. And then on the other side of the House, or other side, you got the House, who has really turned into this very moderate body. And it is closer, like there's 180 members of the House, 100 maybe are Republican and 80 are Democrat. So you have the numbers to push through really anything you want. But the overall leadership style of the House is very, very moderate. And it's been that way since even Speaker Ralston was in there. They typically don't, they don't go to bat on any social type issues. I know Speaker Ralston, we passed the heartbeat bill back in 19. He was adamant that that was not a piece of legislation that the House should pass. And he was really pressured into it because of all his troubles. But yeah, I mean, so if we go back to what happened last night, you know, sports betting failed to get a vote in the House. Religious liberty had passed the Senate. It failed to get a vote in the House. The Senate kind of made a bill. They took a House bill, gutted it, and put a lot of stuff in about vetoing or not allowing children to have puberty blocking drugs and hormone therapy. That was passed, but it was never taken up in the House again. So it was just strange that the House has come really this really, really moderate body, which I think it used to be more conservative. And the Senate's like this hardcore right conservative body in Georgia politics.
Well, you have the immigration bill that got through, requiring jailers to hold any suspects who are believed to be illegal. I don't know if that's going to pass muster or not. How do you decide if someone you believe someone to be illegal?
Yeah, that was a big bill that passed. That was House Bill 1105 that you said. So if you, so if a local sheriff, has someone in their jail, maybe it was a DUI traffic stop or something. They bring them into the jail. If they suspect that person to be illegal, they have to hold them. And then if they don't hold them, they could get funding taken away from the local county and local sheriff's department.
Yeah, but I understand this. That's the teeth of it. But how long do you hold them on suspicion?
I know. I don't know what that is.
Yeah. Now look, we all have in our minds what an illegal alien looks like. Central South American, doesn't speak any English, probably doesn't have a driver's license or insurance. A lot of these guys get popped at DUI checkpoints and stuff like that. But you're not required to carry papers on you other than your driver's license. And if you get popped without a driver's license, you're going to spend the night in jail and have a court date and all that stuff. It's not that I don't disagree with deporting people who jump the border illegally. I don't know how this is a local issue, and I'd have to really dig into the bill.
Well, I think they're trying to prevent counties from becoming sanctuary counties like Athens, Georgia is. So what they're trying to do is they say, if you arrest an illegal alien, then you have to contact ICE and you have to do something about it. You can't just have an illegal alien sitting in jail and let the illegal alien back out. And this stems from, again, Lake and Riley in Athens. And Athens, sheriff and police department over there just letting people they know are illegal back on the street. So that's what I mean. So it's a political bill, but I think how do you ensure, how do you know that they're illegal or not? I think that'll be worked out. But I think the overall point of this bill is we don't want sanctuary counties and cities making decisions that are against, really federal law too.
Well, I guess the only one thing you could do, you're going to hold them until you hear back from ICE. And ICE is not coming out to pick up a single illegal that got a DUI. This is not going to happen. Especially under this administration.
No,
possibly,
not at all.
Possibly the next.
Yep.
But even the resources it would take to go just in the state of Georgia and go around. And look, I play a game. I get the mugshots on my Facebook. And I like to play a game called Guess the Charge. Just by looking at the picture, you see somebody with messed up hair and eyes are droopy. So I'm like, public drunkenness.
Right. Yep.
And I look at someone and say, no licencia, no license. Sure enough, no license on person, no proof of insurance, speeding, which if you're riding dirty and you know you're illegal and you know you don't have a driver's license, obey the traffic laws.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
But I guess there, up until now, there hadn't been any repercussions. You get a DUI, you get a handwritten ticket and just don't show up.
Yep. And, moving off that bill just for a second, the Speaker of the House, John Burns, because they didn't take up really any social issue bills last night. And I know the Senate was frustrated with the House for not doing that. But John Burns said, look, and this was a quote, look, we know there's some social issues that are important to Georgians. He said, there are some we embraced, but we also know that the timing maybe wasn't right today for some of those issues. Like my question back to the speaker would be, when is the time, why is the time not right to block puberty blocking drugs from little kids? Like we've got 10 or 11 year olds getting puberty blocking drugs that are changing them forever for the worst, right? So like, when is the time right to actually block? I don't know how he justifies putting stuff like that off. So that sounds like a political answer from him, not we're just going to do the best thing. And so I feel sorry for these children that their parents are pumping full of drugs and that our speaker wouldn't take up that legislation. I just don't think that's a smart thing to do. And I think most people in Georgia support not pumping, young kids full of puberty blocking drugs.
Yeah, you're talking about 10-year-olds.
Yeah, we're talking about 10-year-olds. We're not talking about 17, 18. Yeah, we're talking about 10-year-olds that are getting, and that really can't consent anyway, right?
Right. With the hormones in food and milk now, I think kids are hitting puberty a lot earlier. So you're talking about a 7 or 8 year old.
I know.
And my nephews are 10, about to be 11. The youngest of my nieces and nephews.
You can't explain to a 10-year-old how it's going to impact their body when they're 25,
right? And they're great kids. They're wonderful kids. They're intelligent kids. They're not at the age where they can make decisions of their own body. One of them, I asked him what he wanted for Christmas this last year. He goes, a mini fridge. I was talking to his dad, my brother. He goes, do not buy him a mini fridge. He thinks he's 17.
That's funny.
So, yeah, it's criminal. It's child abuse.
I know. So, I mean, so that statement that the speaker made to me just, it fell flat on me to say, maybe the timing wasn't right today. I don't get how the timing is not right to block puberty blocking drugs.
But yeah, I'm wondering if that wasn't at the governor's behest.
No, I don't think I don't think it is.
I mean, to get it into his election cycle for running for Senate.
I don't know, but I mean, there's some, you know, how the Senate, and I mean, Burt Jones is doing some of this stuff in the Senate because he knows he's running for governor in less than 2 years, right, in 2026. So he knows these are red meat issues for his base. So I get it, right? Religious liberty is a red meat issue for the base. Blocking puberty or blocking this puberty blocking drugs is a red meat issue for the base. But if you're just a Republican out there, this should be an issue for all. I mean, even a lot of Democrats support this. So I know what the speaker's doing too. The speaker's saying, I've got an election coming up this year. A lot of my House members are on the north side of Atlanta still. And this could be one of those issues that offends some voters up that way, and we lose 5-10 House seats. So I know what he's looking at. So again, he's making it political because he doesn't want to lose a few Republicans up on the north side of town. So I don't like when you do political stuff instead of what's the best thing
for Georgia. What's right.
Right. And that's what he did. He made it political and not what's the best thing for Georgia and what's the best thing for children.
Well, he has to decide if he wants to be the Speaker of the People's House or if he wants to be the head of the GOP. As the Speaker of the People's House, it's incumbent upon you to pass laws that protect the least among us and those who cannot defend themselves.
Yep.
I know.
So there's a couple other things before we end the show. The Senate also voted for a Clarence Thomas statue. You know, they've been trying to get this statue of Clarence Thomas in the state capitol. It passed the Senate, wasn't taken up on the House side. The film tax credit bill didn't pass the House. This was where the film tax credit in Georgia is unlimited right now. So what happens is these companies come in, they get tax credits. They don't reside in Georgia, so they're from California, but they come, they get a tax credit because they're filming in Georgia. And then they end up selling that tax credit to other companies that are based in Georgia, but it's unlimited. They were trying to put a cap on the film tax credits and how much you could get, because that does eat into the tax collections from a corporate standpoint. So that didn't pass. Now, the Senate and the budget, they wanted to put some money in there so teachers could get paid to carry weapons to school. That was left out of the budget by the House. And then the only thing that they have to do at Georgia Capitol is pass a budget. It did pass late last night. It was about $36 billion. 300,000 state employees will get a raise, and teachers will get an additional $2,500 coming up in June, I think, is when it kicks in. So a lot of money this year. I mean, that $36 billion budget, the budget 6 years ago was $27 billion, so it's gone up. I mean, we're looking at a 30-40% increase in the state budget since Governor Kemp took office.
You know, this should be the first thing they take up, period. This should be the debate on the budget should happen legislative day one. Now, I understand it has to be brought up.
It starts in the first couple of weeks, but yeah, it never passes until the last day. Yeah.
I don't know if it's like Congress where it takes so long because everybody's trying to get their little slice of the pie for their constituents.
Well, it's, I think here it's less of getting money for your constituents. It's more of this, like our state budget is this big omnibus budget. So we've got, let's say, 36 departments in Georgia. All 36 departments are slammed into one budget. So all the department budgets have to get set up and agreed upon, and then they all get put into one big budget, so which is what some of the people in Washington are fighting against, which makes perfect sense. Like they say, okay, we're going to vote on a $7 trillion budget, but you know, we don't want to fund a Department of Education, or we don't want to fund certain agencies, or we want to discuss that in more detail. And you can't do it when it's in a big budget like this. So one of the things that we try to do back in the mid, you know, when I was in office, is break our budget out and vote on it by department. So you could vote on it by Department of Community Services or Department, you know, DNR or Department of Education. So you could argue more at the individual department level versus, you know, it's either up down on $36 billion at this point. You know, I don't like how they do it today, but it's just this big mass of spending.
Yeah, it you either vote for this entire $36 billion or nothing at all.
Exactly.
So it's a binary choice, yes or no.
Yep.
And if you say no, you're an a-hole. You're holding everybody up. Now we have to go re-vote.
Yeah, you can't
be here till 2 o'clock in the morning.
Well, yeah, I mean, the budget never, I mean, Democrats are never going to vote against a Georgia budget because it's $36 billion and they're spending, you know, gookools of money. So Democrats are always going to vote for the budget because it's given 300,000 state employees a raise, right? It just continues to be bigger and bigger every year. See, you would never get Democrats to vote against the Georgia budget, even though Republicans put it together. And then the Republicans are not going to vote no, because then a mailer would be sent out that was said, you know, you voted against teacher raises. So they kind of got everybody by the, you know,
verdict. Yeah, by the short and curlies. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I don't get it. The only thing I didn't mind them leaving out was the paying teachers extra to carry weapons. I don't want somebody tentatively
carrying a weapon.
Carrying a weapon only to get an extra couple hundred bucks a month.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you should know. You got to know what you're doing.
And they get trained, but you want somebody who wants to carry a weapon to protect children, not make an extra couple hundred bucks.
Yep, agree.
Anyway, Kenny, what you got for your closing thought?
No, I mean, it's a show dropping. I hope everybody had a good Easter weekend, and looks like we're going to be in the 80s, so it's finally warming up, and hopefully we don't have another one of those cold fronts again. Maybe we're fully into spring at this point.
Well, my truck's yellow, so obviously the pine trees think it's spring. I was sitting in the parking lot waiting to talk to somebody, just watching it looked like the Sahara with wind blowing across with the pollen going everywhere. But big thanks, Kenny. By the way, if anybody likes what they heard, like and share us on Facebook. My closing thought before I thank everybody is: do not believe anything on social media as a show drops. People are going to see stuff on April 1st and get their panties in a wad and then realize it was a joke. So, again, big thanks to Ken, my partner's endeavor. Huge thanks to Eric Cumby, who takes awful audio and turns it into something you can listen to. I'm Dave Roberts. Have a great week. Catch me howling at the moon.